Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. We're joined by Callum Summerton, CEO of Chill Brands. Merry Christmas, Callum.
Merry Christmas, Phil. Good to see you. And I suppose a happy new year now as well as we get to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's have a look at 2023 in the life of Chill. I mean, obviously a major deal with leading UK supermarket, the Amazon rollout, WH Smith travel stores, Vape Local, chill.com marketplace growth with many new product lines. I mean, what a year 2023 has been. Do you want to add a bit more color to that and what you feel you've achieved since obviously coming on? I know you came on, was it sort of middle of 22 or early 22, but how do you feel 23 has gone so far, Callum?
Yeah, 2023 was an enormous year for Chill. I obviously came on board as CEO in April 2022. Everybody who's followed knows that we did a fundraising then to effectively clean up and then pivot the company in some way, shape or form. And in 2023, we have seen, you know, the fruits of that. We started the year with, you know, still just the residual legacy CBD kind of focus on pouches, on smokes, on gummies. And then by sort of summer, we'd launched a whole new suite of products in Chill Zero, our vapes, both in the US and the UK. We've now got, you know, a marketplace on chill.com. These are all things we didn't have really a year ago. So it's been a monumental year for the company. The biggest thing, obviously, has been massive growth of Chill Zero vape sales, particularly in the UK, but also picking up in the US. We've got major retailers, you know, 2,100 stores that have opened in that time. We've got, you know, gross revenues up close to the sort of 2 million mark now, which is just night and day compared to financially where we were a little while back. So yeah, really big year for us. And I think what, you know, to sum all of that up, what we now have is a somewhat diversified company in a growth category that is, you know, about to, you know, continue its journey of growth, but also heavily target, you know, how can we drive traffic to our website? How can we, you know, further develop our product range? How can we get new people looking at the Chill brand? And that's both in terms of, you know, investors and the markets. We want to be shouting and communicating about what the company now is, because there's something to shout about, but also obviously customers who are going to be buying and you know, feeding new revenue and profits to us.
Yeah. Did you see Chill becoming a household name in 24 in terms of, you know, you, the likes of the Elf Bar, you see the kids, all the different vapes. Do you see Chill being that household name?
You know, I think a fair criticism of Chill in the past, levied by one of our more prolific critics, has been that Chill was not even a household name in its own household. And that was true. Ultimately, it was. But the same is true for any brand that's just starting out. You know, this is, for all intensive purposes, from August 2023, a new brand, a new product, pretty much a new category in zero nicotine vaping. And, you know, the traction that we've seen so far, the thousands of stores that have picked us up, the sales we've made, the major retailers, the fact that we've got, you know, a massive growing base on Amazon, the traffic that's coming to chill.com, all of that obviously feeds into a world where people do recognize Chill, and we can stand up as, I think, one of the eminent names in the vaping space in the UK, certainly in zero nicotine vaping. I don't really believe that there's anyone doing it as well as we are, truly. And, you know, as we get into new product development too, I do think that, you know, Chill is immensely applicable, and that people will start to recognize it. Certainly they'll be recognizing it when it's on, you know, shelves in every shop they go into in their local town.
Very good. Well, firstly, I'd like to congratulate you, Callum, on winning the award for the best performing 12 stocks of 2023, even though we're talking about 2024, from a base of 2p at the beginning of 2023, you have increased to, I mean, at one point you were 14p, which was miraculous, even though it only stayed there for a few days and then slowly came back down. We've had an increase at the end of this year, and now we're up couple of 100%, which is amazing. So in this market, to have achieved a couple of 100%, it's basically bravo. And for that, because we're so generous, you're going to be able to go out with your good lady and have a roast dinner and send us the bill.
Guys, I appreciate that. I didn't know that we were the best performing 12 Stocks of Christmas pick. Yeah, thank you very much for that. And obviously, thank you for your support through the year.
So enjoy your McDonald's, mate.
Indeed. Yeah. You said send you the bill. You didn't say you'd pay it. So
you can look at it and go, oh, well.
Yeah, that's a really interesting roast dinner.
Yes. But no, I mean, 2023 has been a roller coaster in and of itself. I think, as you say, we were up in that sort of 13 pence range at one point. You know, a lot of that has been on promise. That was back before we actually had revenue. And now we have it. And we're sort of much lower than we were at that time. But I think we're in a comfortable position at this stage. I think the other thing that's relevant, obviously, is that we've been in something of a winter in the stock market, certainly on the London Stock Exchange. You know, you listen to anybody, Matt Moulding from the Hut Group or anybody involved in sort of advocacy on, you know, what the LSE should be, will tell you that, you know, things have not gone to plan on this market this year. There haven't been as many listings. There have been, you know, far less sort of successful fundraising getting off. There have been stocks that have been looking to move to the NASDAQ. But I think that we are now seeing, you know, life come back to the LSE. I think that there will be, you know, more listings, better prospects for companies in 2024, because there have to be. And obviously, I hope that Chill will be a beneficiary of that.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why, I mean, we did debate, you being the top performer, can you repeat the scenario in 2024? But because it was from such a low base, and we really believe now that the building blocks are in place, I believe that 2024 can be just as good, if maybe not even better in terms of actual reality now, because all of that progress in terms of share price has happened without, as you said, revenues until the last few months. And now you've got an actual business that really should start to grow as it sort of starts to snowball. Yeah. I mean, what's your thoughts on the pace? I mean, as you said in the previous interview, you didn't expect to be in this position after 4 or 5 months. So what position do you expect to be in by the end of 2024? And then we'll make it bigger than that, because it's obviously going to be higher.
Yeah, I guess the first thing to say is, yeah, definitely we didn't expect to be where we are at this stage, to have launched a new product, as I say, with a new brand effectively in August, and, you know, a few months down the line to be getting that listing into a major supermarket, into travel stores with WH Smith's, into other locations, and also to be taking meetings with the competitors to those stores that have already taken us on. I'm not going to say it's unheard of, but it is really pretty spectacular, and we're very, very pleased and proud of it. I think that, you know, in 2024, we can expect to see, you know, very, very strong growth of store count, of, you know, new stores taking us on, new doors, new names in the UK, in the US, but also in additional territories, jurisdictions. I've spoken about Spain. We've obviously looked at the Middle East, other parts of Europe. You know, this is a category that's ripe for the taking. And, you know, we're very keen to jump into that in 2024. It's a year when we're going to come out swinging. I think aside from that, you know, we have a product on the market that is delivering for us. But during 2024, we will be bringing new products to market. I have no doubt that are going to really, I think, not only sort of surprise the market, both the stock market, but also the consumer market, but also, you know, present very good upside for us. You know, we've got a zero nicotine vape here right now. That category is one that we have a lot of space to grow into, and we will be doing that. And I'll mention more about that as the year goes on, as we bring things to market. Vaping is still, you know, as industries go, in its infancy, and there is enormous upside potential there. But yeah, I mean, look at other areas of the business. We've got things like the marketplace I've spoken about in previous podcasts. We're up, you know, beyond the 40 brand mark on there now. I want to be in the sort of hundreds of brands sort of position very soon. And yeah, really, it's more of the same. We're going to continue to sharpen the knife, but we're doing that now from a position of strength, not a position of material weakness, which is, I think, candidly, again, where we were back at the end of 2022 as we came into this year.
Yeah. For us, we've seen progress throughout the year. We think you've done a great job yourself. I think everybody does realize, I think, but I think you have worked tirelessly. You certainly not worked as a 9-to-5 CEO hoping things are going to work out. You've been working your butt off, basically, I think, in terms of trying to get many, many things happening. And from personal dealings with you, in terms of what we've dealt, how we've dealt with you, I've seen that you are very particular about what you want. And, you know, you want to make sure that the best deals are out there for both Chill and the shareholders. So I think that's going to continue. And I'm very glad that you're in charge of that. And I think, you know, we wish you a hell of a lot of luck in 2024. Let's hope we have all the supermarkets and not just one of them by the time the end of 2024 comes. And we do realize, I think, it's going to be capital intensive initially, but then it's going to spout out cash like there's no tomorrow. And I think that ultimately is what people have to understand, is that by the end of 2024, if you really do take on a lot more of these deals that are potentially on the table, then this literally could be a money printing machine.
Yeah, I appreciate all of that, Kevin. And certainly that is the case. I suppose the key point there is, when you're launching something new in the consumer space, it is capital intensive. You've got to pay slotting fees. You've got to get inventory, you know, long before you're actually able to receive any money back for it on a sale. And you've got to back your brand and your product with marketing spend. You've got to pay for personnel. You've got to set all of that infrastructure up. And, you know, that's what we have been working our way through. It's one of the reasons why we've taken, obviously, a very flexible and very commercial debt facility, as people will have seen in our supermarket RNS. But, you know, the truth is that, yes, while that capital intensive period occurs at the start, when you're launching the brand and you're getting it out there and building distribution, you know, that comes back and works in the other way once you start to get cash flowing. You know, the funds will come back. The funds will multiply, in fact, as you get reorders, and you can start then deploying money that you're actually making for growth rather than needing to find it somewhere else. So all of that is absolutely on the table for us. You know, cash management is super, super important. Cash is king in any business, but particularly in retail, where you're dealing with inventory and debt and supply chain and payment terms. And you know, really 2024 is the year when, look, now we've launched as well, we must focus, and we will focus very heavily on reorders and making sure that we keep people in our funnel, retailers and consumers, once they've gotten in there the first time. So yeah, I think all of that will pay off in time. And of course, you know, it is exponential growth we're looking for. But really, if you think about it as sort of concentric circles, we're moving ever outwards, you know, day by day, week by week, and building sustainably on the platform we've created.
Yeah, and I noticed as a big X user that British American Tobacco are now following your account, which is quite an interesting observation I made.
Yeah, you know, I can't speak to that having any sort of prominence or prevalence in relation to, you know, dealings of the company right now. You know, we've had discussions with some pretty senior people in the big tobacco world, and they are very alert to what is happening in the industry. But the other thing is, you know, strip it back from the markets and the financial performance of any company for a moment. One of the reasons that there's probably engagement between myself and British American Tobacco to a degree is that, you know, the purpose of vaping, it is harm reduction. It's obviously their focus. They've talked about how they want the vast majority of their business to be outside of combustible cigarettes by, I think it's 2030, if not a little bit after that. And the reason that these products exist is because they are significantly safer than combustible cigarettes. That's what all of the data shows. And we should celebrate that, really, because if somebody can use our product to kick a habit that will kill them in smoking combustible tobacco products, then I'll be delighted.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is, I mean, we've seen the cancel culture across, you know, social media, but I think we're actually witnessing the cancel culture of smoking as we know it, cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, how frequently nowadays do you see people getting up from a meal in a restaurant to go outside and smoke? They don't do it. You know, people obviously have moved to vaping or other tobacco alternatives in a big way, and that's fantastic. There's definitely room for the industry to improve the way that it conducts itself, the way that it's regulated. Obviously, we heard enormous amounts of that from the press during 2023, and we shouldn't expect that to end either, because it's a category that is divisive. However, you know, I think as I've said before, that, you know, future regulation and change in the industry is not only a great opportunity for us, but a way for us to bring vaping back to its roots as a, you know, tobacco cessation, a smoking cessation product or solution. And, you know, if you compare countries that have vaping and have supported it as a harm reduction, you know, public health measure versus those that have not, you will see that there are, you know, real risks to not embracing a reduced harm product for the country.
So let's move on to a bit of a sort of New Year's theme, being this is in the new year. What I'm going to ask you one, I mean, I'm not really a fan of New Year's resolutions, because I think you set yourself up for failure before you do that. And you see so many people wanting to commit to going to gyms and canceling in January. But what is something that you did in 23, and maybe a new routine or something you developed that you're going to take forward into 2024, and it'll help you grow in terms of personality and in business as well, you know, in your personal life, and just help you kind of grow?
Yeah, I think I'll give you two. The first one is me talking my own book, and that is that, you know, we have got some really, really good supplements on chill.com, and I've been winding those into my routine. We've got a particularly good brand on there, Yumi, which is, you know, a brand of gummy supplements. I take their 5-HTP religiously every single night, and it gives me a great night's sleep, and that's super important when I'm working, you know, God knows how many hours. So I think certainly, you know, you've got to live by the principles that you're marketing to the world. Chill.com markets self-care. And so, you know, health and wellness, obviously very important. I think that in the, you know, in the commercial sense, in the business world, one of the best, I would say, entrepreneurs in my kind of roster of entrepreneurs that I admire is Jack Ma, the Chinese guy who created the Alibaba marketplace. I think we asked a question long ago on a different race podcast, what was my favorite kind of business book? And it was his. That business was built entirely around people. It's a marketplace as well, bit different to ours. The positioning doesn't do exactly what we're trying to do. And that's what we need to do with our business as well. We need to trust the right people. We need to get the right people into the right roles, whether that is in, you know, the financial management capacity, as whether that's, you know, an FD, whether that is our marketing team. You know, you have to have the right people in place to succeed. And as we scale, it is uberly important to me that we are selecting, you know, the right candidates, that we're taking our time, but that also we're getting people in place that we can trust, because it can't be, you know, myself and some, you know, a select few others who are running everything and try to be in a million places at once, because it'll never work. It's not sustainable. So my New Year's resolution is to obviously hire sustainably, scale in the right way. And, you know, in an odd way, you know, we couldn't have said this not too long ago, but be hiring the right people for Chill. So that's certainly my focus.
It's a great one. We could almost do a full podcast on life hacks, I reckon. We need to do that at some point.
Yeah, it'd be good. It's sort of a no man is indispensable. Have you ever read that short poem that talks about a bucket of water? That if you put a bucket of water in the middle of the room and ask everybody then to put their hand in all the way as far as you can, and then pull it out, and then you say to them, "You see the hole that's left? That's how much you're required." Okay? Because no man is indispensable, because every position can be filled. And the best CEO in the world will be the man that makes himself dispensable.
Yeah.
In other words, he can walk away. When I was a sales manager, I was able to leave my team and they still did their jobs very successfully. And the basic thing is you have to do yourself out of a job, and then you're doing your job exceptionally well. Now, obviously that isn't the case on things where actual things need to happen in terms of you. But when you're in a chief executive role, effectively, you should be able to walk away and everything carries on.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more. And the key is also, it's, you know, it's not walking away off into the sunset or down a beach or on a ski slope as much as I'd like it. The key is that, you know, you've got to free up that time to be looking at what is next. You know, where's the new business? What's the next newest opportunity? As I've said before, for Chill, we're very agile, but that agility can be limited by, you know, being heads down and focusing on the present. The present's very important. It's where your cash management is. It's where your near-term sales are. But you've got to be looking 3, 6, 9, you know, even getting onto 24 months down the road. And that's what we want to be doing.
Yeah, and as CEO, more of your time should be on creating the future than an implementation of the present. But I know from speaking to you that that hasn't been the case in 2023. You've had to be the man who's done everything or a lot of the things. So maybe when you said you have to have the right people around you, it's not just about having the right people, it's having not having the wrong people with you as well.
Of course, of course. You know, the as I say, businesses are built around people. This one is no different. You know, getting the right team in place is crucial. And also getting people who know the categories that you're going into. You know, category experts are very good. And if you can combine people who know what they're talking about in a specific consumer category, and you can overlay that with people who know nothing about it but can give an alternative, fresh perspective, I think that's where you see, you know, the best opportunities and the sort of glint of gold that you can seize on.
Indeed. And my Christmas question is, where is the craziest place that you've ever spent Christmas Day?
Craziest place I've ever spent Christmas Day? Do you know, there's nowhere really particularly crazy. We normally have a very, very traditional British Christmas in the Wiltshire countryside, turkey and all the trimmings, dog walks and what have you. Do you know, I haven't done a crazy Christmas yet, but if I were to do one, I think it would certainly be good to, you know, obviously look somewhere tropical. Our creative branding lead last year was in Bali, although it was rainy season. And I think that, you know, maybe it would be good one year to do the whole Australian thing, but we'll see.
Very good. So you need to go on and do some crazy Christmas days somewhere then. Anyway, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I hope it's blessed, and not just for our business sense. And in 2024, let's see where we go with the marketplace, with vaping in general. And we've got a large part of the world here that can still take some vapes. I think we're only really in the UK and partially moving into the US, if we're honest now, at this moment. And even the UK has massive expansion possible. US, obviously, even bigger expansion possible. Then you've got Europe, you've got the Middle East, you've got Asia. Now, obviously, all that is not going to be done in 2024. But the world is your oyster in terms of that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so far, we have only knocked on a fraction of the doors that exist. You know, that is what is, you know, we've done what's possible, but there's so much more that we can do and we will do. And, you know, it's a numbers game. And if we continue to play the numbers game and fight for it, then yeah, there's many, many more countries, many, many more stores and chains that we can target. And obviously our revenues and our performance will be, you know, according to that.
Yeah. And as a last question, because I'm nosy, has the Amazon listing continued to increase?
Yeah, the Amazon listing, as a performative business center, I have been blown away by how good Amazon has been. It's almost scary, the number of notifications I'm getting all day with order fulfilled by Amazon constantly. You know, making sure that that channel is resourced with the right amount of inventory is something that, you know, takes time. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we're priming the pump because the sales are coming. The interesting thing about Amazon is that we also now get to see all of the data that presents itself on other product categories. And so without saying too much, there are some very clear opportunities where certain types of products that are within our wheelhouse are performing very well in the UK, in the US, in, you know, different territories for different products. I can see a world in the not too distant future where we take hold of some of those, release the product in, and know that those products have got a home from the moment they land.
Very good.
All right. On that note, I think we'll say Callum Simmerton, CEO of Chill Brands, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.